How many of us are immature to one degree or another? Raise your hand. Come on. Yeah, we all are. How many of you are fearful to one degree or another? All right, how many of us struggle with pride to one degree or another? Yeah, how many of us are selfish to one degree or another? Shame on you, shame on you, shame on you. How many of you are Portuguese to one degree or another? God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. All right, all right.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Today, part two of a message we began yesterday. When we left off, Pastor Wayne was teaching us the importance of trusting God and loving people. He says that for years, he did it the other way around, and it became a costly lesson. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, How to Love the Unlovable.
And so there's an agape love that's a powerful love. Why then did God say not to trust in man? I'll tell you. See, man, you, me, man and woman, we're made up of three parts. And I'll just draw it here like this. Made up of three parts. One is our spirit. Now, the spirit part of us is that which comes alive when Christ comes into your heart. The wages of sin is death. So your spirit is dead. But when Christ comes in, he makes you a new creation. That part comes alive. But spirit, soul, is your mind, your intellect, your soul part of you, the heart. And then the third would be what? Your body, which includes your flesh. This flesh too, but this will decompose. And everything else in this that's susceptible to the world. Temptation, susceptibility to being fearful, selfish, greedy, self-protecting, self-promoting. This is in this part here. Now, if we're made up of spirit, soul, and body, what parts of these are able to have a divine touch and be redeemed? Can our spirit be redeemed? Well, absolutely, absolutely. When Christ comes in, we redeem, our spirit comes alive, he breathes the breath of life. All right, what about our soul? Can your soul be redeemed? Absolutely, absolutely, right here. But what about your flesh or your body? Can that be redeemed? Does that have potential for the divine? No, you'll get a glorified body one day, but while you're here, no. This will never be converted. Your flesh will never be converted nor be redeemed. It can be disciplined, it can be put to death. You can have self-control, or you can control that. If you don't, will it toxify the rest of your life? Oh, absolutely. You can be a Christian and make dumb decisions because you did not put this in its place. You didn't discipline the flesh. But if you think about it, man is made up of three parts, but one third of it does not have the capacity for the divine image. Two-thirds at best are redeemable. One-third you will always wrestle till the day you die. That's why Paul the Apostle was saying, well, who can remove this flesh? It won't be until I stand before Christ that I'll have freedom from this. But until then, I'm wrestling with this. Now, all our life we're gonna wrestle with that. So would you put in number two, man consists of what? Spirit, soul, and what? But would you write down in that first bullet, one-third of man does not have the ability for the divine. Again, it can be disciplined, it can be put to death, it can be controlled, but we're all going to have to work with this part the rest of your life. I don't care if you're a Christian for 40 years, you will still have tendencies here. That won't be as much as, it'll be under such control that you're doing really well, but it still has a capacity to take you south. Now, all of us will have these in here. Can I trust this part? No. What about these here? Yeah, this can be redeemed. This, better not. Better not, because that's a part of the flesh, that baser nature. Now, some people learn, like we are, how to keep that under tow. How to discipline that. I'd put that to death. Keep my sights on things above and not things beneath. But still yet, we will mess up in this area. Because we're evil? No. Because we're wrestling with these things. Some are better, some are worse, but I know that one-third of me is not really trustworthy. I'm working on it, but we're all wrestling. Watch this. How many of us are immature to one degree or another? Raise your hand. Come on. Yeah, we all are. How many of you are fearful to one degree or another? All right. How many of us struggle with pride to one degree or another? Yeah. How many of us are selfish to one degree or another? Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. How many of you are Portuguese to one degree or another? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All right. All right. So you can see that the part of us is not very trustworthy. That's why God says, let's read Psalm 118 and verse 8. Go. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Yeah, see, I did it wrong for so many years. I put my trust in man. And when they failed, which we will, not because we're insidious or evil, more so because we're human, or we've let this part go undisciplined for a while, and it toxifies the rest of us, and we make dumb decisions. And I thought I could trust you. The Lord never said to do that. Let's read the next one. Psalm 146:3. Go. Do not trust in princes, in mortal man, in whom there is no... Yeah. See, God is saying, agape man. Watch this. If I trust in man and they don't come through, I say, I trusted you. And then what happens is you won't be able to measure this, but your love for that person goes click, click down to 92%. And then someone else, you expected him to come through with this promise and they didn't. You're down to 80%. And then someone else breaks your trust again, boom, boom, down to 70%. It's like, dude, you're on probation now. And so the love in our life, it's like we have fractional love. Fractional love because our love is eaten away a little bit. Used to be 100%, but I trusted you, and I trusted you in that. I thought you should have done this. I trusted you in that. And now it's 80%, and now you're on a probation period. And then you do something that breaks my trust again, boop, 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 and now it brings a fractional ownership or fractional level of love, and now you're down to 60%, and now I just tolerate you. And that's what happens with marriages. So you stay in the marriage because of the kids, but I'm just tolerating you. And so now we have all these fractional love levels. And you do that enough, and you're going to have it mostly with Christians because you're around Christians the most. So after you become a Christian, your non-Christian friends start to diminish, and you just kind of hang around a lot with Christian people, and they're going to fail you sooner or later because we're not worthy of your trust. We're not supposed to. And so after a while, I have fractional levels of love for you, 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 you in my heart because you broke a bunch of trusts. Okay, whether it's right or wrong or perceived or not, it's just you get that. Now, watch this. When you start to sustain fractional levels of love in your heart for different people, it just kills you. It gets you tired. It fatigues your soul. It depletes your spirit because you are trusting in man and they couldn't sustain your trust. Nobody can. There's only one that can. And so what happens is when you have these fractional levels of love in your heart, it's just acidic. It's just hard. Watch this. You know, God never designed your heart to have fractional levels of love for people. He didn't design you that way. He designed us to have full 100% love. What is that called? Agape love, because that's being fed vertically, not horizontally. See the difference? So when you have full love for people, and it doesn't matter what they do, this is based on my Father's command. It's fueled by heaven, not by you. So it's just, it keeps flowing. It's this never-ending flow. So sorry, I can't stop it. That's my Father's love for you. Isn't it true that when you know that you're fully 100% loved by God and you have full love for people, life just doesn't get any better? That's how God designed us to live, fully. That's the kind of heart God has. Does that mean nothing's going wrong? No, no. It just means you understand, you agape people, and you trust God. That's why David, do you remember when Saul was coming after David, King Saul? And David did not revile. David didn't go after him, didn't retaliate. No, because he was trusting Saul. No, he trusted God and he agape'd Saul. No, you do what God's word says. Well, what if I don't feel like? I don't either, but you do what God's word says because it's right for your heart. It keeps the agape love going. And he kept his love high, agape, and his trust correct. And you know what? God looked around and said, I'm going to put a man on the throne, David, because he's a man after my own heart. You see, God's heart is 100% love. When we mess up, does his love go down to 90% for you? 99% for you? 70%? No. It's always 100%. Does that mean we're doing good? No. We're doing bad. Does that mean he's ignoring our sin or endorsing our sin or saying it's not that big of a deal? No. It's a big deal. But that doesn't have anything to do with this love. His love is always 100%. And he agapes man. And David was agape-ing man and trusting God. And God said he understands something that not that many people understand. And I'm going to put him on the throne because David is a man after my own heart. God's love is never fractionalized for you or for me or for anybody. And when we ask God to give us that kind of heart that flows from heaven, then God says, you're people after my own heart. So you say, Wayne, do we just like not trust people? No. I trust people, but I also understand what's in man that I give them. Would you write down a number 3? We can still love people, but give them room to fail and still agape them. Do I trust my kids? Absolutely. But I know that they're still wrestling to different degrees on these things over here. Yeah, you will too. There's immaturities in you and me. There's pride. There's anger. There's expectations that are broken. And I'm thinking, you just humiliated me. You broke my trust in you. Yeah, but if we trusted people when they do that, I don't love you as much. Sorry. I now have a fractional love level for you. But no. God is saying, no, you agape people. I still trust him, but I know what's in man. So therefore, I don't put my trust in man. I put my trust in God. And I work with people on this side. I work with myself on these. I work with my kids on these. And when I see people stumble, I still agape them because my trust isn't here. My trust is in God. Now, let's read that last scripture together again. Go. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. You say, Wayne, what if someone really messed up your life? I mean, really messed up your life. What do you do? You know, do you think Jesus had people really to try mess up his life? Oh, yeah, you better believe it. But why didn't he revile in return? Do you remember in John chapter 19, Jesus was bound before Pontius Pilate. And they had beaten him and put a crown of thorns on his head and beat that crown of thorns into his skull. They led him before Pontius Pilate, and Pontius Pilate said to him, hey, are you the king of the Jews that the people are talking about? And Jesus didn't answer him a word. You read about it in John 19. And Pontius lifted his voice again and said, I said, are you the king of the Jews? He didn't answer him a word. It must have really miffed Pontius Pilate because he said, don't you know that I have the authority? I have the authority to crucify you or let you go. And Jesus looked up at Pontius Pilate and said, you wouldn't have any authority unless my heavenly Father gave it to you. You see, who was Jesus trusting in? The Father. And knew that anything that would touch his life has already gone across the Father's desk. So he could agape Pilate because he trusted in God. And even though this looked horrible, Jesus trusted God because he knew that God could turn the tables. And whatever was horrible, that he would work all things together for good. The Father had a greater plan. So Jesus had to trust the Father, even though it looked dark. That's why, even from the cross, when the people were hurling words of abuse at Jesus, he could say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He agaped man and trusted God. And he could love the unlovable. You see, that's what God wants us to do, to be a people after his own heart. And if you will change the way you think and say, Lord, I need to start trusting you because I've been trusting man. And every time they fall short, my love for them decreases a little bit. And now I've got fractional levels of love all in my life. And now I don't represent your heart. But God says, I want you to be a people after my own heart. Then I have to understand what Jesus did. And I did it wrong for years, folks. I have to understand what Jesus did. He trusted God and agape man. And then, that's it. Then I have a love that can stretch and strain and reduce the consequences of sin, just like Jesus did. And then I have a love that comes not based on your response, but it's a love that's based on the command of my Father. And then I put my trust in God because it doesn't matter what happens. I know my Father will work this together for good. No, it doesn't mean I'll be gullible, naive. I'll be smart, but I'm not going to retaliate with vengeance. And neither will I let my love start to become fractional in levels because it'll kill me. God didn't create your hearts to do well with fractional love levels. It makes your life acidic. But when you have full love and you know you're loved by God and you have full love for people, life doesn't get any better. That's how he created us to function the best. But we settle for less all the time. So God is saying, here's what you do. You put your trust back in God and you agape people because it's a love based on his command, not on their response. And then you'll be able to love the unlovable. And then you'll be able to be a people after his own heart. And you'll be able to forget the things that lie behind and press forward to the things ahead. That's why in Hebrews, he says, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. If he's the author, the one that's going to finish you at the line, that means he's in front of you. You've got to be looking at what's going on, the potential you have in front of you. Your best days lie ahead of you. Some of you have been built and betrayed by others, and you're living your life through the rear view mirror. And God is saying, put your eyes on me. And if you put your trust in God, you can agape man. And boy, I tell you, when that happens, your brightest days lie ahead. And you'll be a people after his own heart. That's how God wants. Then you can press forward. I say this to people. I say, look at the way God created you. Just look. Just look in the mirror sometime. God created us. In all these little scientific reminders, God created us in such a way to remind us to keep moving ahead. For example, what side of your head did he put your eyeballs on? The front or the back? The front. He could have put them on the back. It'd be a little hairy. But he put them on the front. Why? Because he's probably just trying to say to you, keep looking forward. Real simple. Which way did he put your ears on your cranium? Forward or backwards? Forward, right? Why? Because he's probably saying to us, I want you to listen for my promises for your future and stop listening to everybody talking behind your back. Which way do your arms work better, reaching forward or reaching backwards? Forward, because God is telling us to reach forward. Which way does he put your feet on your ankles, forward or backwards? You haven't checked lately, have you? Look at your neighbors. Just look. Forward, because God is saying that regardless of the pathway and its bumpiness or the terrain, you keep walking forward. That's how you go best. There's only one part of your anatomy he's stuck on the other side. And I'll let you figure out what that is. But there is one on the other side. Why did he do that? Probably because even God, who has a sense of humor, is saying, there's certain things you need to leave behind. And when you develop a trust in God, you can agape man. And when that happens, we'll all be able to have his heart to love the unlovable. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand together as we conclude. I want to pray because there's some of you whose hearts have been wounded, and you've lived far too long with a fractional love levels. And it's just killing you. Because the lower the love level goes because of broken trust, it makes your heart susceptible to bitterness, anger, strife, and bailing out. And you live that way. It's just a horrible way to live. You say, but it's them. No, no. It's because you've allowed your heart to love with a love that wasn't God's best quality of love. And God wants to restore that agape love to you. A love that's not sourced by other people's response. It's sourced by His commands. That's it. That's it. You catch that. And then it becomes an agape love, and you take the trust that I put on mankind, which God never said to do, but for some reason we have, and we put it back to where it belongs. I trust in God and God alone. And sure, we work with one another, and we say we trust one another, because we do, but we understand there's a third of everybody's life they're wrestling with, and they just may stumble and fumble. But then I can give you room to fail, because I know you're human, and you're still working on some things, but my true trust, not in man, it's in whom? It's in God. I agape you, I trust Him. And then it fills my love back up, and life doesn't get any better. But some of your hearts have been wounded, and I want to pray and ask God to restore that. And if you're that person, let Him heal you even now. Would you bow your heads with me? If you're here and you say, you know, Wayne, I've got that. My heart has been wounded. And Lord, would you restore your love to me? A love that heals. Because I know the only quality of love that heals is your agape love. Because that's what redeemed the world. And it can redeem my heart. Lord, would you refill me and heal me on the inside so that I'll learn to put my trust back in you so that I can agape men. Lord, would you heal my heart? If that's you, would you just raise a hand right now and say, yeah, Lord, please do that. Please do that. He will. Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came and you died for me that I might have everlasting life. I place my trust in you alone and fill my heart with your love. Agape love for others. Change me until I become the person you want me to be. And now I say this so everyone can hear, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. And Father, we thank you now that this is a time we gather before you. That was the cry of our hearts. Thank you for teaching us to be a people after your own heart. Would you, Lord, work this message into the very fabric of our lives so that we'll understand it, comprehend it, and be able to make our Mondays count. Thank you for these who've received you for the first time as Lord and Savior. Lord, it is such a privilege to now be able to call them my brother and my sister. Thank you for embracing them so that we will become the people of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, welcome these who made that decision for the first time. Congratulations.
Christ alone, Christ.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled How to Love the Unlovable by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for listening.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.
Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.